this week, I really felt a number of weeks ago before we got to our week of prayer, I really felt that the Lord wanted me to speak on being filled with the Spirit today. But I also felt that he didn't want me to prepare a lot before this week or even, until the end of the week of prayer because I was to listen to what he's saying to us together. Our theme for the week of prayer was, and by the way, there are no notes pages today. There just aren't. You'll be okay. Steal some paper from your neighbor and write on it or something. So our theme for the week of prayer has been City on a Hill, praying for bold kingdom impact in our region. There is, just as we spiritually discern our city and our region, there is a lot of darkness around us. There is a, just some examples, but there is a real significant addiction problem in our city. And no treatment facilities, very little help in that area for those who are struggling with addictions. There's a real addiction problem. There's organized crime in our city that feeds that addiction problem. And apparently is involved in human trafficking and all kinds of nefarious things. Whether you know it or believe it or not, there is a lot of witchcraft and occult practice in this region. Bathurst is one of the three places in our province that does abortions. There is a growing problem of poverty, housing shortage, and homelessness, as we have become aware. And there is statistically, this isn't just opinion, there is statistically a higher than average rate of depression, of domestic abuse, and of cancer in our region. And these are just a few of the challenges that our region faces that are symptoms of spiritual darkness in our region. When the power goes out in your house, you don't have a darkness problem, you have a light problem. It's not that there's too much darkness, but that there's not enough light. Darkness is not a power, it's an absence of light. Jesus has put a calling on the lives of his kingdom people to be light in the darkness. In a number of places in the Gospels, we hear Jesus say that He says, I came as the light of the world. I am the light of the world. It says that numbers of times in the Gospels. But in Matthew 5:14, he turns to his followers and he says, you are the light of the world. What? That's right. You are the light of the world. As much as Jesus ultimately is the light, he has deputized you and I with the light of his glory, with the light of his presence, to carry his light into the world that we live in, that we would shine brightly for him. And his next statement is, he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. If we are living as lights, we will be unmistakable. We will be brightly shining, and those around us will see it. Right? And so if we If we have a significant issue of darkness in our city, then we have a light problem in our city. The job is huge, but so are the resources that God has made available to us, His people. One of the things the Lord spoke to us this week is that there were 120 people that gathered together in the upper room the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out in power upon the church. And they turned the world upside down. We have more than 120 people that call Evangel their church. We don't all show up on the same Sunday, but we easily have over 150 people that call Evangel their home church. If those people turn the world upside down, then we could at the very least turn our city upside down. If we repented of our junk, we got serious about forgiveness and unity in the body, and we were filled with the power of the Spirit, we can turn our city upside down. As the word from Suzanne this morning says, we need to stop playing church. Just doing our religious thing. And we need to be serious about being light-bearing, Spirit-filled people tapped into the power of heaven that God has given us so that we can be what He's called us to be in this region. But how do we get there? In our first prayer meeting this week, one of the prophetic pictures that was given was of an eagle. The word that came with it was, it's time to go higher, it's time to press forward, it's time to get out of the nest. See, God has more for us, for each one of us, and for us collectively. He has more for us. But we have to repent of our addiction to our comfort and security. To be willing to do something new. To be willing to step into what God has in store for us. Your next level in God is just outside of your current realm of experience. Your next level in God is just outside of your current comfort level, comfort zone, right? And it will require faith and obedience to step out of your current level, step out of your comfort zone, and into the next level that God has for you, because He does have a next level for you. We are meant to behold Him and to grow and advance from glory to glory to glory, right? We are meant to grow in Him. You are made for more than you are currently walking in. So am I. We are made for more than we are currently walking in. Another word that was shared this week. We don't need a dry preacher. Is that we have lowered our expectation. We have a miracle-working God who has always moved in and through His people to accomplish great things for His glory. But He normally aligns Himself As we look at the scriptures, as we look at how God has acted over the ages, over the centuries, God aligns himself with our faith. Jesus, you know this, many of you know this story. Jesus was traveling around Galilee ministering in synagogues as a visiting rabbi. He would teach about the kingdom of God, and then he would do miracles to demonstrate the coming of the kingdom. But when he stopped in his hometown of Nazareth, he did the same thing he did everywhere else, and he would preach, and he went to do some miracles in his hometown. And the scripture says in Mark 1, verse 6, it says, he could not, we're talking about the Son of God, we're talking about Jesus, he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. I mean, we would take that, right? He was amazed at their lack of faith. So because there was an atmosphere in Nazareth of a lack of faith, it hindered God himself from doing what he wanted to do in that place. Right? And here's what we tend to do, is when we pray for something, we're believing God for something, and we don't see it. We don't see it happen, or we don't see it happen in the timing that we expected, and we get disappointed in praying. Rather than continually raise our faith to the level of who he is, believing God because of who he says he is, believing him for great things, continuing to lift our level of faith, we tend to pull down our theology of what God will do. We pull down our level of expectation to the level that we are comfortable with in our faith. We begin to think, oh, God doesn't, maybe he doesn't do those things anymore, or maybe he doesn't want to do them for me. Maybe there's something, maybe he just doesn't like me. I don't know. You know, like we pull down our expectation. We pull down our level of our theology about who God is based on our experience instead of lining up our experience and our expectation with who he says he is. Hebrews 11:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus who cleansed lepers and raised up the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear is the same Jesus we serve today. My heart echoes with Habakkuk, who was frustrated with not seeing answers to prayer in his day, and rather than pull down his theology about God or pull down his expectations, he prayed this prayer in Habakkuk 3:1. He says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God, I've read the stories of the things that you've done in the past, and I've heard the stories of what you're doing in other parts of the world. But God, we need you to do it here, and we're going to stand and believe until we see it happen. God has called us to be a spirit-filled people. I'm going to try and do this as clearly but as quickly as I can, because I want to leave us some time, some good time at the end for prayer. We are not meant to do this thing called following Jesus or ministry for Jesus in this world in our strength. But in fact, Jesus told us not to try. In Luke chapter 24, This is after Jesus' resurrection. Luke 24, starting in verse 44, Jesus is spending time with his disciples post-resurrection before he ascends into heaven. Verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So the Old Testament, everything that's written about me in the Old Testament has to be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Wow, wouldn't that be cool to be part of that gang sitting there listening to Jesus and having him in that moment opening their minds and their spirits to see clearly how all of the Old Testament was pointing to him, right? Powerful. He told them, verse 46, he told them, this is what was written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So I'm going to send you out to the whole world. You're going to go and preach in you know, just the craziest places. I've got so many things for you to do, guys, but don't you dare leave this city. Don't try it until you have been clothed with power from on high. We don't dare do Jesus' ministry in human strength. We need his power. And so Luke went on. Luke also wrote another book in the New Testament called the Book of Acts. And Acts is like just a continuation of his story of the life of Christ and his people. And so in Acts 1, verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him, asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. A little aside here. Before Jesus said this, when Jesus first encountered his disciples in a locked room after his resurrection, the book of John chapter 20 tells us that Jesus spent some time with them, and then in his conversation with them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So if he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, but there was still something they were to wait for, what's going on there? Right? As we look at the New Testament and to understand the working of the Spirit and how he works, we believe that when you come to Jesus, when you become a follower of Jesus, you give your life to him. "Jesus, I want to follow you. Come be in my life. Come be in my heart." In that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you. There's no such thing as a follower of Jesus who's not indwelt with the Spirit. But Jesus says here, "But you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you." When he comes upon you, something different than him. One teacher says it this way: the Holy Spirit is in me, for me, and he's on me for you. He takes up residence in my life and in my heart to lead me, to guide me, to teach me, to help me, to give me perseverance, to work out the fruit of his Spirit, the character of Christ in me. But he is upon me for supernatural ministry that I can do the works of Jesus in this world. Okay? And so in Acts 2, just a little later, Acts 2, verse 1 to 4 says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Folks, you need to hear today, you and I need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, am I going to say that you're going to lose your salvation if you're not filled with the Spirit? Of course not. I've heard some of you have heard this joke or whatever, but do I need the Holy Spirit to do ministry? I need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I need his power just to live. I need his power to do the things that he's called me to do in a day. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And if you are deflated, discouraged, disenfranchised, if you today feel dry and dusty in your walk with Jesus, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Following Jesus was never meant to be boring. If it is, you're doing it wrong. It was never meant to be boring. It was never meant to cause you to feel under a weight of stress and anxiety or shame at not being able to measure up or do the things he's called you to do. Jesus promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with you, upon you, and in you, and to provide everything you need to live for him. Some of us listening to this today have never been filled with the Spirit, and you've been feeling like there's got to be more to this Jesus thing than I've seen so far. But where is it? Right? That was me. Before I experienced being filled with the Spirit, I grew up in a church that not once in the, 13, 14 years that I grew up in that church, I did not hear one single sermon, I guarantee you, I did not hear one single sermon on the Holy Spirit. He wasn't talked about, he wasn't an emphasis, and church for me as a teenager, as a 17, 18-year-old, it was feeling boring and irrelevant to my life. And I came to a point where I said, either there's more to this Jesus thing, or it's not worth my time. And I began to search. Thank God, I began to dig and search for the more. I pestered my pastor with questions, and I began to seek for the more. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit by accident. It was a good accident. Our family went one Sunday on vacation to a church that some of their friends of our family attended. And the guy that was preaching, he was a guest preacher, and he just happened to be preaching what I'm preaching to you today on being filled with the Spirit. I had never heard anything like this in my life. And I saw it right in front of me in the scriptures as he was talking about it. And I'm like, this is it. This is the more. This is what I've been the missing piece in my life. God filled me with His Spirit that day, and it's been a journey ever since. In the book of Acts, there are five times that we find a person or group of people being described as being filled with the Spirit or baptized with the Spirit or the Spirit of God falling upon them, all synonyms for the same experience. And in most of them, it was an experience subsequent to them coming to Christ. It was something that happened afterwards. In most of them, it's described that they began to speak in other tongues, in a language that they didn't know before. And that's a sign that, you know, if you're like, well, have I been or haven't I been? Right? God didn't give us the gift of the power of His Spirit without and make us guess, did I receive it? Didn't I receive it? But he built into it a sign that we've received it. And that's a language, a prayer language where we can talk to God directly. Bible says we basically bypass our minds, and our spirit cries out to His Spirit. We connect with God spirit to spirit. It's a gift. And the five times it's described that people are filled with the Spirit, there are really five different unique situations. One group was seeking it. One group was open to it. They weren't seeking it, but they were open to it. They'd heard about it. They were open to it. One group, somebody was hostile to it, but God got their attention. And one group was surprised by it, didn't know it was coming, kind of like me, right? Filled with the Spirit by accident. And one group was completely unaware that there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit. But when the moment they heard about it and hands were laid on them, they were filled with the Spirit. And I would guess that all of us in this room fit into one of those five things, that we are seeking it, or we're open to it, maybe we're even hostile to it, we're surprised by it, or unaware of it. But it doesn't matter who you are. God has a gift for you, and it's a gift you want. Some of us in this room, many of us in this room, have been filled with the Spirit in the past. Maybe you've experienced many fillings. You're tired of, you know, tired of it leaking. I got too many holes, right? Tired of it leaking. Tired of having to keep coming back to Him. Let me encourage you today. The very first disciples, the ones who had spent all that time with Jesus, the ones that were filled with the Spirit that first day that it happened, they were in a prayer meeting months later. It says in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Here were people who had been filled with the Spirit, had faced some challenges in life, had been beat up through some things, and they came to Jesus and they were praying, God, we need your strength because we're facing opposition and it's hard living for you in this world. And God poured out His Spirit on them again. Isn't that encouraging? It's encouraging. We're almost done. Actually, worship team, why don't you come up while I finish this bit? Let me say this. God wants to fill you again. If you have been filled with the Spirit before and today you would say, I'm dry. I feel empty. Let me also encourage you. I talked about speaking in other tongues, and for some of us in our movement, that was such an emphasis for decades that it almost overshadowed the reason why we're filled with the Spirit. We are not filled with the Spirit so we can speak in tongues. That's a sign. It's a gift. It's awesome. I pray in tongues every day. I encourage you, if you are filled with the Spirit, to do the same. The Bible says it strengthens our spirit. We are filled with the Spirit to do the works of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. That's why we're filled with the Spirit. Right? We are filled with the Spirit to enter into a whole new way of living for Jesus in power and strength. Not in my strength, but in His. And so God will fill us again. We come to Him again and say, Jesus, I need to be filled. He'll do it again. Let me also say, we're told in Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, leads to all kinds of trouble. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart, from your heart to the Lord. When it says, be filled with the Spirit, it's a command. So that means we can do something about it. We can do something about staying in this condition of being filled with the Spirit. In fact, it says, keep on being filled. The Greek verb tense means keep on being filled with the Spirit. Just keep coming back to Jesus again. Every morning's a new morning, and we need fresh power, fresh anointing, fresh strength for this day. Jesus, fill me again. Jesus, I want to spend time in your presence again because I need you again. I'm going to face some stuff today. I need the power of the Spirit today again. Keep on being filled. Another one of the words that we heard this week was actually another one from our sister Suzanne. She said, Romans 16:20. I said, okay, Suzanne, what does it say? I don't know. So we looked it up. And it said, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And then the Spirit just came upon her and she just said, I hear the sound of dry bones coming to life. I am going to pour out my Spirit upon your church. Dry bones come to life. I am going to pour out my favor upon your church. I'm going to pour out my favor upon your church. I'm going to pour out my favor upon your church. Let's stand. Folks, I want to just encourage you today, including those that are watching online. Don't settle for dry Christian religion. Jesus said in John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or her belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your innermost being. I want to ask you today, how's your belly? Excited. How's your belly? We're meant to live as people who have the rivers, the waters, the rivers of life flowing out of our innermost being. And sometimes we walk around so dry, desperate for a drink ourselves, that we've got nothing to give anyone else. And that's not the way we're meant to live. That's not a word of condemnation. It's a word of invitation. Jesus says, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So just before Bob closes our service, I want to pray for you, and then I want to extend this invitation to not run away when Bob closes the service. I would love an opportunity to just anoint and pray for everybody in this room before you leave. To say, I want a fresh drink from Jesus. I want a fresh outpouring of His Spirit upon me, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 51st time or the 500th time, but I just need a fresh drink from Jesus today. I'm ready to believe for His Spirit to be poured out in my life. So God, I thank You for every person here in this room, every person online. God, You have made us for more. You have more for our lives. You want to pour out upon us that we would be used powerfully in this world. God, we have a light problem in our city, and we are the solution. You want to light us up. You want to fill our lives with Your presence and Your glory, so that when we walk through the streets of this city, when we go to work, when we go to the coffee shop, when we go to the places that we go, that You would shine brightly through us, and that God, we would see people's lives changed and set free because of the Jesus on the inside of us. So come fill us fresh today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Certainly encourage you to come. Wait upon the Lord together for that fresh and filling of the Spirit. You know something that just came to my spirit, Pastor, as you were sharing? Time is short. We need everything we can get to reach our world for Christ. Amen? Jesus is coming, folks. Just look around. I even have unsaved people at Walmart tell me that. Isn't that weird? Unsaved people. So I would encourage you today, come and get all you can from God. I want you to have it. All of it.